be with us this morning as we come again to this place, continuing to pursue the simplicities of our faith and to be in touch with whatever it is that you want us to be in touch with. In Christ's name, amen. All right, now in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we move on to a very important phrase in verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great reward or recompense. Now, interestingly enough, the word confidence here is the same word in verse 19. Having therefore confidence in the blood of Christ, or to enter in to the holy, having therefore confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Christ. Boldness is the word, and we'll look at it again. So having boldness to enter in. In chapter 4, verse 15, he says, let us therefore come boldly, come with boldness. Here are three passages where we have the same word used, but it's a crucial word because he says, don't cast away your confidence or boldness, which has great recompense of reward or great result. I guess recompense is the best word here for it. Now, the word boldness, which we're looking at, we've talked about before in connection with coming boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly there does not mean to come with brazenness, to come brazenly. We don't come boldly to the throne of grace in the sense that we have a right to be there and we have a right to the promises God has given us and we are, by George, going to exercise that right. So a lot of people think of boldness, come boldly to the throne of God. And people come in that spirit sometimes saying, all right, Lord, you promised, so therefore you have to deliver. Well, he doesn't have to do anything. And that mood of coming on the basis that he owes us something is very unsound. So, but in boldness there means, actually the Greek word itself means beyond words. It has some mood of wonder in it. That is, we come before God grasping something that is beyond us. That might be a fair way to translate that. Laying hold of something that is beyond us ourselves. When you were a young fellow, I don't know what the girls did, but the young boys going to school would get into fights occasionally, probably daily. There was always a considerably greater boldness if you had a companion in the fight. For some people, it was the older brother. So you went down the street with a lot more confidence. The idea here of boldness is the idea of something beyond ourselves. And if you're looking at the Greek text, you gentlemen who may have one with you, you will see the preposition para there. That's connected with a word to speak, re'o, and para re'o has the idea of something beyond, if you're interested in how I came to that conclusion. Something beyond ourselves. Cast not away therefore your confidence or boldness as something that is beyond yourself, which has great recompense of reward. Now, what is the context in which he is saying this? Well, first of all, the other word to come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence or with the sense of something beyond ourselves. Let us also, in the 10th chapter, come in, we have with boldness, we have access to the Holy of Holies. All of these things speak of a power beyond ourselves. Now that means, if I can get down to practicalities here for a moment, a sense of something beyond ourselves goes beyond our power to reason it out. We stay with Christ, not because it is always reasonable, because we wonder why he does what he does, and we don't always have any answers. And we sometimes have some negative feelings. As I've said often, sometimes people get a little bit upset with the Lord, like kids get upset with parents. I work on that theme a lot because many people turn away from or lose out in their faith or turn away from it because they get angry with the Lord. And they think, well, he certainly can't think much of me because I got angry with him or upset with him. Well, it's of the province of humans to get upset, especially with things they don't understand. And children, your children get upset with you once in a while, right? You think your children have ever, every once in a while they'll feel that you have been dealing with them unjustly, right? They don't say it that way, they just scream. But if you could read their thoughts, you had a magnifying glass, you would find them thinking, how can they do this to me? As they get older, they say it more boldly. And they may go out of the room and slam the door, or they may do a lot of things because they're unhappy with you. Well, you don't send them to jail or execute them or send them out of the house, you know, because you understand that they don't understand. What you understand is that they don't understand. And you can't back away just because they don't understand what you're doing. You have to go ahead with your plans. Because in a certain sense, you're not there to make friends with them, but to help them or get along in life. We hope you make friends as well. Now, it's so typical of humans, the idea that humans can think that way about Christ is perfectly natural. Because they don't understand him. If we understood everything he did, he wouldn't be divine. Or we would be too divine or something. Anyway, we don't understand. So therefore, what keeps us coming to Christ, staying with him, is deeper than that. It is beyond our reasoning, beyond our thinking, beyond our speaking. But we come, nevertheless. We're drawn to him as to a magnet by his own power of interaction with us. We get back into the energy theme without getting too detailed about it, but magnetism, electromagnetism, is one of the basic forces in the universe that brings things together, holds them together. And there's a certain spiritual electromagnetism that holds our spirits to Christ in spite of the wavering and inconsistency and so forth of our own human thoughts. So when he says we have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, or we have boldness, or let us come boldly to him, he is saying in a sense that this is all beyond ourselves, but we come anyway. We may not always know why. When he says then to not cast away our boldness, which has great recompense of reward, I have to say to you that your best position is not to avidly pursue answers or reasons or faith or feelings of faith or whatever, but to let things float. Just let it float. That's the best advice I can give you. You don't understand why God did what he did or allowed what he allowed or why you're in the fix you're in. Never your own fault, obviously. But you just come anyway. And let the chips fall where they may. But what it is in you that causes you to come is that sort of spiritual electromagnetism that keeps you drawn to Christ. So don't discount that. You could feel downright inconsistent or hypocritical. You know, why do I pray when I don't see any answers? Seems a little vain or empty or hypocritical. But never mind that. Just come to Christ. Hold fast, or that's not something even you can do. But he says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cut the ties just because you don't understand it. Or because you may not feel worthy, or nobody in their right mind really feels worthy of things. Gilbert Chesterton said, anyone who thinks has to be a pessimist. And people who think about themselves for very long have to be a little pessimistic. Doesn't matter how far along you are, there's always some reason to feel inadequate about things. Even the bravado, you say, well, I know this guy, and he just never feels inadequate. He's always coming through with great boldness. Well, you might be surprised at what he thinks about when he goes home at night. Sometimes, or often, the bravado hides an inferiority complex. Well, it's all right to recognize that. But that's why I said before, our sense of the sacrifice of Christ is really tied up in that. And when we come to Christ, in spite of our failings or misunderstandings or negativism, whatever, when we come in spite of that, in a way we're sort of recognizing this point. We may not be worthy, but after all, his death on the cross was our entry to the presence of God. That is, it was the sacrifice. The Jews offered a sacrifice on an altar of an animal. Well, we don't do that, but in a sense, we offer the sacrifice of Christ in that we come in the name of that sacrifice, or we come because of that sacrifice. So the continual sense of inadequacy, instead of causing us to draw away from Christ or draw back from him, on the other hand, should really bring us closer to him based on Paul's statements in 1 Corinthians 12 about our weakness. Of course, he starts in Romans where he says, Christ died for us while we were weak. The Greek word there is the same that Paul uses when he says that he is our strength. He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. The same word. The same word is used in Romans 8, where he says that the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses. So in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I find my glory in weaknesses, because when I am weak, then am I strong. Christ comes to us in terms of our weaknesses. And that was the whole fight with the Pharisees. He said to them, you think you're strong, you think you're well, you don't need me, so goodbye. Go your way rejoicing. wayward sisters, depart in peace. Well, I don't think he wanted to go in peace, but he wanted to depart. They were not open to help from him because they thought they had everything in their pockets. Pocket had holes in it, but they didn't realize that. We are tied to Christ in our weakness. Keep that in mind. You're tied to Christ in your weakness, not in strength. And when you are weak or feel weak, that's the very time that you are most open to Christ. Now, this is contrary to a lot of conventional thinking today, not wisdom, a lot of conventional thinking. Everything moves in the direction of get strong, right? Religious exercise to make you stronger, make you more victorious, make you laugh at the impossibilities or the challenges, and go on in strength. That's a general pursuit today, to strengthen your faith, right? You're probably in the best position when you don't have any faith. I mean, in the terms of human confidence. Because in your faith, which is usually identified as human feelings of confidence, and when you feel this great surge of confidence, you may be in the opposite position. When you come to the Lord in the sense that you have no personal strength, you have no feelings of confidence. How can you have feelings of confidence? When you consider what goes on around you in this world and what happens to people and to others, yourself, how can you be confident? You don't know what the Lord's going to do or what he's going to allow. What's going to happen next? I've always said that you don't get on a plane confidently assuming that the thing's going to stay up. You don't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. It may stay up, but it may not. The name of the game. Now, it's when you come in weakness and without that kind of faith. You are not without faith because the faith you have is the faith of Christ. The thing that is keeping you going is that electromagnetism within you that is the energy of God's faith, which is what brought you to Christ in the first place, and which you may not have any feeling for at all. Like a magnet. They have magnetized kitchen cabinets these days. But once you draw the cupboard near to the magnet, it picks it up. Now the point is, when you, in your weakness, your lack of confidence, not lack of faith, you got that, because it's that faith magnet of God inside your spirit that keeps you drawn to him. You're just an old wooden door. You don't have any strength. Tack a little magnet on there and boom, you're shut. The magnet is Christ. So don't come to him with introspection or feeling your pulse or wondering about things. Just come and say, Lord, I don't have any confidence about this matter, but I'd sure like you to help me. But the other side of the coin is this religious exercise concept where you strengthen your faith. Now, how do you strengthen the faith of God in you? Or how do you strengthen your confidence? Let us say that you are going to be a wrestler, pro wrestling or the amateur wrestling. So you do your exercises. Okay, now you got all this strength there. You can press 300 pounds or whatever it is that you can press, and you've strengthened your muscles and you're all set to get in the ring. And they Bring in a sumo wrestler. 400-pound giant. You don't watch wrestling probably because it's a little too earthy, I suppose. But, you know, you're all set to go and you've strengthened your muscles and everything is really great exercise. And you get in the ring and here comes this sumo wrestler. All your exercising is in vain. Well, the same thing is true with people who try to exercise religiously to get really, you know, build up in their faith. And then you get a blockbuster that you're not ready for. You always thought you could handle everything. You and God are great, and you're in there in cahoots with Him, and you pray every day, and you're, you know, really holy and all the rest of it. And all of a sudden, you get hit with something that knocks you off your feet. I'm not saying to you that you shouldn't do anything in praying or reading the Word or whatever you can do. There's a spiritual exercise you can engage in. But just remember, there is no way that you can con yourself into being confident about things when you're always subject to things you never expected to meet. So your confidence is not in yourself. It isn't that you know you're going to stand fast. You know that if it gets too heavy, you're going to drop it. Or if the sumo comes along, you're going to run. So he says, don't cast away this confidence or this boldness, which has to do with recognizing something that is beyond yourself. So come in that recognition. It is beyond you. If you don't know that it's beyond you, you may strain a muscle. If you ever worked with rocks, I worked with a few rocks, and some of my cohorts have. You know, if you're not aware of the nature of rocks and the weight a rock can be and have, you can strain yourself. I've been working with rocks for long years. Some of you, most of you know that. Probably the first rock work I did was back in the 50s. You get a feel for what a rock is all about, and you don't strain yourself because you know how far you can go with it. You know how to use levers. You can easily lift a 1,000-pound, or you can lift a ton rock. You've got the leverage. In your relationship to Christ, you can get a hernia, a spiritual hernia, by not understanding how weak you are. And you can go swinging out into these things and run into something that you don't know how to handle. So you always approach it with the assumption that your own human confidence isn't adequate, especially to handle Satan, or even to handle the world given its present chaotic state. Now when you approach the problems that really are formidable to you, you have to recognize it's not a matter with the Lord whether the problem is big or little, formidable or not, and you're not depending on your own strength to handle it. You don't know from nothing. So you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I can't handle this. I don't know how to handle this more than I can handle. So you just leave it with Him to work it out. You don't try to analyze it or superanalyze it or analyze yourself. What have I done wrong? That can be a very unrewarding exercise, because I've always said you don't have any more capacity to analyze yourself than you do to analyze others. You always think of yourself with bias. Your own brain can't analyze itself because it got too much data there that is misleading. And you will either overestimate yourself or underestimate yourself, usually underestimate, but you're as biased about yourself as you are about others. So don't try to superanalyze yourself in order to get something from God. If he's got a problem with you, he'll let you know. But you come to him outside of yourself. If you come in yourself, you're coming with your own capacities of confidence or capacities of faith or capacities of piety or whatever. You're not going to ask him for something till you get good enough to ask him, and that'll be a futile exercise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Confidence in the sense of your coming in a mood that is beyond yourself to someone who is able to handle things for you. Well, we'll stop. Father, we ask you to help us in grasping things that are really beyond us in so many ways that we're trusting in the faith of Christ to hold us steadfast. In his name we pray. Amen.